thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed, oh, again redeemed, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed.
But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. This is also the blessed hope, and I'll share the scriptures in a few minutes, or actually the scripture about the blessed hope. And hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday night show, and it is really it's a weekly review. It's a weekly review of prophecy and events that we should know or we should be aware of. So that's what we do here on this show, is we try and there's no problem doing it, folks, with all the information. We try and get focus on the Middle East first with Israel and Iran and Gaza and Hamas and all. And then we cover all sorts of other material. And my sidekick with me here is Dave Hauser, and I got to take the bridle off him. So let me go over there. And there we go. Dave, you're loose. I'm turning you loose.
Shalom and Maranatha, John.
Shalom and Maranatha to you.
Thank you.
All right. Are you ready for the scriptures?
I am ready.
All right. I'm not ready. Let me get you over there. Here we go. You're over there. Turning you loose. Go ahead, Dave. 1 Corinthians 15, sure. 51.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death and victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Now, Dave, when the Lord comes for us, what does it take? About a half hour for us to go to be with him?
No, he doesn't waste in the by a nanosecond.
Yeah, hold on, Dave. You're kind of breaking up there. All right, well, not that bad, but a little bit. Yeah, it's the twinkling of an eye the Bible says, which would be the equivalent of a nanosecond. Now, here we go. All right. So, I feel like they're sharing some more scriptures about the Lord's coming for us, the rapture and the blessed hope. So let me share a couple more scriptures. Oh, and before I do, I've been thinking about this, Dave. Where is your citizenship?
Oh, in heaven.
Very good. Very good. I was going to have sport with you if you said it wrong. So you're thinking quick.
Do you give me quizzes to make me look silly, or is it just you want to make me look smart?
Both.
Okay.
All right. In fact, let me get it over so everybody can see it. This is a nice one, Dave. A real nice one. They're all nice. For our citizenship is not in Babylon, right?
Well, some of us do live in Babylon, John.
For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change this sinful body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Isn't that nice, Dave? For our citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now looking for him, that's the blessed hope.
Amen.
And that's the blessed hope, the rapture, and looking for him here, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior. And remember in John chapter 14, the Lord was telling the disciples that, well, he was going to the cross and he had to go. And he said, but I'm paraphrasing, but I'm like telling you the truth. I'm going to come back. I will come back and take you unto my own and take you to where I am. So that's him coming back for us. We know it as the rapture. And or the blessed hope. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was also offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So, Dave, I look at, we'll say like a college course, Christianity 101 is Jesus died for us on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sin. But 102 is that he rose bodily from the dead, and connected with him being raised bodily from the dead, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So his second coming, if he didn't raise from the dead, Dave, there would be no second coming.
Exactly.
But the key here, unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So looking for Christ's coming is part of being a real Christian, because he rose from the dead. And he's coming back for us, like he told the disciples, the people that are alive at that time. He's coming back for us. And he's taking us to heaven. Now, where do we go, Dave, when he takes us to heaven? Where do we go?
The marriage. Yeah.
Well, there has to be a setup before the marriage, right? I mean, there has to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So where would that take place?
In heaven.
Oh, all right. It's the New Jerusalem.
Oh, the New Jerusalem. Yes, absolutely.
There must be quite a banquet hall.
There's a big banquet hall there.
Must be quite a big banquet hall, Dave.
Exactly.
It must be. All right. So let's go over here and let's look at the blessed hope. So and there's a series of scriptures starting at Titus 2:11, and 2:11 is joined with 2:12, which is joined with 2:13, which is joined by semicolon with 2:14, and then 2:15 sums it up. So the blessed hope is in a teaching, folks. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then it keeps going. It's attached with a semicolon. And this is all about growing spiritually. Paul, I'll read verse 12. Teaching us, that's God's grace, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope, semicolon, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So what's at the core or a part of denying ungodliness? Now, ungodliness means living your life without God at the center, and worldly lusts, taken up with all the cares of the world. So how do we deny that? By living with the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope, looking for Christ coming, looking to go into the New Jerusalem and the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's how we deny ungodliness. We should live soberly, that's clear thinking, righteously and godly in this present world. So with living your life, looking for Christ coming, will cause you to live godly. And godly means everything you do, God's in it. Righteously. It's kind of tough to be living with the blessed hope and sitting at a bar getting drunk. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I don't recommend that.
Well, I'm glad of that, Dave. I'm glad you don't recommend it.
No, I do not recommend that.
Okay. I second that. All right, Dave. Let's start with a word of prayer. Would you lead us off in a word of prayer, please? And then we're going to get into what's going on in, the Middle East.
Sure, John. I also want to pray for the hostages that are hopefully going to be released soon. So, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to share the fact that you're coming back soon, Lord. And John and I have been talking about it, Lord, for over 45 years. You are coming back soon. And it's very evident that exactly what the prophet said was going to happen is happening. So, Lord, I just want to pray for the hostages, Lord, that they do get released, Lord. And I've heard some of them have bad medical situations, Lord. I pray for the families, Lord, of the hostages, that they're able to embrace them, Lord. And I can't imagine what they've been through, Lord. Can't imagine it all, Lord. So we just pray this in Jesus' name, Lord, and I pray for the rest of the show. Amen.
Yeah, Dave, someone that one of the hostages that already was released,
right.
It was either the day before, on the day of October 7th, or the day after that he committed suicide.
Wow.
It was really sad. It was really sad, Dave. He couldn't shake everything that happened to him, and whatever that was. But I mean, we couldn't even think the evil that those people would do. So, let's get in there, Dave, and look what's going on. Actually, it's tomorrow. President Trump is on his way right now to Israel. He's going to go to Israel first, and he's going to the Knesset, and then from there he's going to Egypt, and that's where the ceremony is going to take place. And so it's like tomorrow morning, Dave, it's planned. In the morning he's going, Israeli time, he's going to be at the Knesset. Then he's going to Egypt, and then he's flying back to the United States. So what have you heard, Dave, if anything, about this meeting?
Well, Lord willing, it'll go smoothly. Sad to say, it's difficult to negotiate with demonic, how can we say, lobotomized religious fanatics. I just pray it goes well, John. And like you mentioned, we can't imagine what it's like. These poor hostages were, you know, these tunnels. They had videos of this one Jewish guy that he looked like he was coming out of Auschwitz. They weren't giving him food. It's incredible, John, what they've done to these people. So I just pray that they can recover. And like you mentioned, that one gentleman couldn't overcome the horror that he went through and killed himself. So we just pray that things go well.
All right. Yeah, Dave, there's a lot here. I'm trying to word this properly. I hope the best, but I know the scriptures, and there could be, Dave, a peace for a brief time, but President Trump is talking about long range and this is going to put an end to, no, Dave, no, no. The problem is, you know, if you beat down an opponent that is rational, then that opponent might be afraid of you and won't do it again. But the Muslims are riddled with the Hamas types, and they hate Israel, and it's based on the Quran. And the Jews, are, according to the Quran, according to Muslim, are cursed of God, and they're apes and pigs. Now, that's not just derogatory. That's literal. They, in their spirit, they've got a human body, but in their spirit, they're animals. They're apes and pigs. They are the worst of the worst, and they broke the law, and Allah, as they would say, God, Allah like hates them and all. So, for the Jews to be back in the Middle East and to have Israel, which is land that was always, it's been Muslim land for, I'm trying to think, Dave. Well, I can tell you, the Muhammad's armies, after he died, Muhammad died in 634, and in 638, the Muslims conquered Jerusalem. So, that was a brief time that the Crusaders had control of that land. And of course, the British took control in 1917. But that's their land, Dave. That's their land. And it's an abomination that the Jews are on it. And the Temple Mount is all made up. That it's the third most holiest place of Islam and all. All nonsense. Muhammad was never in it, Dave. Never. Never in it. And they say he went to heaven from the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which was built. There's some discrepancy when it was finished. So some scholars say it's like 695 AD. Others say it's 710 AD. So I just picked 700 as a round number. So the Al-Aqsa Mosque was built in 700 AD, and Muhammad died in 634 AD. Do you think that's a problem, Dave, that Muhammad went to heaven in the Al-Aqsa Mosque, we'll say 70 years after he died? Does that pose a problem, Dave?
Well, quite a big problem, John. And it's sad that they believe that it actually did happen.
Yes, they believe it. They believe it. So it's only a matter of time. And this God's plan is working out, Dave. We see it starting to unfold now. It's starting to unfold. And Islam is, Dave, there could be a revolt tomorrow in Egypt and the because Hamas is a part of the Muslim Brotherhood, which started in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood started in Egypt in the 1920s, and they haven't given, they're still in existence. They have not given up their idea of conquering the world. They want to kill all the Jews, they want to kill all the Christians, and they want to conquer the world for Allah. That's the Muslim Brotherhood. And they're still in Egypt. They are still there. So one of those countries could, there could be a revolution in Egypt and change the whole dynamics. There could be a revolution in Jordan and change the whole dynamics. But it will not last a long time, according to the scriptures, because Christ is coming there, Dave. He's coming. The tribulation period is in front of us. And at the end of the tribulation period, Christ is returning to Jerusalem. Returning to Jerusalem. That's the exact spot the Bible says that Christ is going to return. In fact, it tells us the Mount of Olives. So here's my take on this. We don't have long, folks, and we're going to talk about that a little later. Dave and myself had a lively discussion before the show. But there are other things in play besides Islam in the Middle East. But I believe this with all my heart, that God is going to allow a period of time. It may be months, 6 months, a year. I just can't see going beyond 2 years for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit to circle the world. And he's going to hold things back, and he wants to call out a people amongst the Muslims. And he's going to be working mightily in Syria and Iraq and Lebanon and Egypt, all those countries. There's going to be a people called out, and everywhere, folks. Everywhere. I mean, right now, we're seeing incredible work in India and Pakistan in this ministry. It's incredible what we see going. Hey, Dave, I forgot to tell you and everybody else. Yeah, Dave, you there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
Oh, you don't sound too excited, Dave.
Well, you didn't tell me what's exciting. Don't get excited.
Shouldn't you be excited that I'm going to tell you, interrupt the show and tell you something important?
Yeah, I'm very excited now, John. Go ahead, continue.
Okay, all right. This morning I preached in Tanzania.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Pastor Zephaniah, cool. he had problems getting there, and it looked like it was canceled. Well, I was supposed to be speaking there Saturday, but we couldn't do it. But anyways, he got there late Saturday. We had I spoke on all things the Blessed Hope. I spoke on the Blessed Hope. And I included, and here's what happened. They buy time there on the internet. And they didn't tell me. I didn't know that. I thought it was just like, you know, open internet that you go on there. And so the show had a certain time. And I just got to the very end. And I was actually saying the prayer. I told them about repentance and about coming to Christ, and I just finished with repentance, and I started to talk about Jesus dying on the cross. Now, confessing this, because I was leading them in prayer, and boom, the internet went. So, Zephaniah followed through for me, and he said it was wonderful. They had a whole bunch of people come to the Lord, and he prayed for the healing of their broken hearts, and also it was I don't know how many came to the Lord, but I had preached there, we figured about 8 years ago. And that's the church where the imam was watching us, or listening to me preaching and watching. And when I gave the call to receive Christ, he came running, hollering, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, heal my broken heart. Jesus, save me." And so and then 2 days later, he got baptized, and he is a church worker now. I think he's he might be assistant pastor. I was supposed to meet him after the show, but the internet was, we used up all the time, so I didn't get to meet him. So So it was very nice, Dave. I had a wonderful time this morning preaching in Tanzania.
That's very exciting, John. That's a blessing.
And I preached the Blessed Hope to them.
And they were very receptive, right?
They were very receptive, Dave. Very receptive. Okay, so that just triggered in my mind. So I was busy this morning, Dave. I was up early preaching
That's
in
good.
Tanzania. All right, now we got to get back to where I left off. So tell me where I left off, Dave. What was I talking about?
Well, just talking about Israel and what's happening with Egypt
Oh,
and Brotherhood.
yes. And so it's a, I believe that there's a period of time. Folks, it could be 3 months. I have no idea what the time is. It's not going to be years and years and years. I know that for sure, the way the events are coming down. But God's going to send the former and the latter rain together, and there's going to be a giant. When I look out there and I see Pakistan and I see Kenya and other reports coming from India and Sri Lanka, in Sri Lanka, enormous amount of Buddhists are coming to the Lord, folks, and this through this ministry, it's really exciting. So the fields are white unto harvest. They're white, folks, to harvest. And the Lord wants the laborers, which we are, going into the field. So, Dave, with all the high tech now, and so many people have cell phones all over the world and they're on the internet, I don't think it takes years for that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I think it could be done in months, Dave. What's your opinion on it?
Amen, John. The way that people can communicate now, like you said, they say it all over the world on the internet. So it's a good thing. There's a lot of good things that can happen on the internet, but obviously there's some stuff that it's not so good.
Well, Dave, the internet is just like Gutenberg's printing press. They developed the
Right.
printing press for what purpose? To print Bibles, right?
Right, sure.
So we look today, we're an extension of, what was it, 15 something? The 15, 1520? Was that the Gutenberg printing press? But so today, I mean, we printed down through the ages, we printed, I guess, hundreds of millions of Bibles. So that's really good. But also, pornography comes through the printing press, right, Dave?
Exactly.
And Mein Kampf comes through the printing press, and Das Kapital from Marx comes from the printing press. So it's horrible wickedness comes. And that's the way the internet is. I mean, a lot of people, I hear people say, I don't go on the internet. It's too bad. There's too much stuff on it. Well, I mean, don't look at it. I mean, there's a tremendous amount. You could reach incredible amounts of people through the internet and spread the word and print good material for God through the internet. So that's why I think it's going to spread very fast. This revival is just getting going now. This outpouring, it's like a prairie fire, and we're looking for a forest fire. All right, let's pick up some more, Dave, on the Middle East and what's happening there. So what do you want to, what information do you have for us, Dave, about what's going on now?
Well, John, a couple things. Out of the blue, it looks like Israel in the last day or so did some attacks in Lebanon against Hezbollah targets. And things are not going well with the relationship between Israel and Egypt. We spoke about it last week that Egypt
We'll get
is,
into that, Dave. We'll get into
Right.
that deeper because
Right.
in fact, it's serious. It's really serious what's happening in Egypt. I mean, serious, serious, serious that it could interfere with this peace plan in any short run, long run. But Dave, you mentioned Lebanon.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah, there's been some, yeah.
I want to jump in on that. Finish what you were saying about Lebanon.
Yeah, well, they didn't have too much details. I just was watching Israeli news, and they basically said that Israel did some airstrikes against some Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. The Lebanese government supposedly is trying to disarm Hezbollah. Obviously, I don't think it's working that great. But, you know, Lebanon is still a threat to Israel. They've been decimated, you know, with the beeper attacks, the walkie-talkie attacks and stuff. But they still have a goal to attack Israel. So Israel's, you know, acting preemptively.
Right. And that's what I wanted to discuss. Israel has like a treaty, I'm going to say, with Lebanon in this. And Lebanon is supposed to disarm Hezbollah. And I don't hear anything about them disarming Hezbollah. Maybe they are, but it's not getting in the news at all. But what is getting in the news is Israel identifies where some of these big storage depots are for rockets and missiles and ammunition and all that. So when Israel finds it out, they just blow it up. So that's what happened, Dave. When you see Israel attacks such a place in Lebanon, that means that the Lebanese army is not doing its job. So Israel takes it out. It takes it out. So that's why you hear Israel attacked Lebanon and blew up some Hezbollah position. All right, Dave, what else do you have?
Well, the big thing that's all over the news, obviously, is the hostage situation. You know, President Trump coming to Israel. I think there's a 20-point plan to what to do with Gaza after the peace plan, you know, after the release of the hostages. It's a little involved. Some people are not very optimistic about this happening. I think the second stage is that Hamas is going to disarm, which I doubt is going to happen. So the whole thing could fall apart, which is kind of sad.
Well, that's what I said, Dave. It's too volatile, and I don't see how you can base some sort of a treaty, we're going to say, with the Muslims, because Jerusalem's involved, Dave, and the land of Israel's involved. And so what I want to tie into this, in fact, let me find the article, because it's so important here. I have it here. Is Egypt on a collision path with Israel? So my comment is, now this is from my blog, folks, the John McTernan's Insights. And what I do on Sunday, I just report on what I posted on my blog during the week since last Sunday. So is Egypt on a collision path with Israel? And this is my take on it. This is a tremendous article loaded with great information. Please take time to read it. But let me just read a little bit of it here that I posted on my blog. Egypt is acting as though it is preparing for war with Israel. But this needs to be put in the right context. Ruth Wasserman Landy, a former Israeli deputy ambassador to Egypt, told JNSU News, Egypt has built up its military presence in the Sinai Peninsula with tunnels, storage facilities, manpower, and equipment far beyond the terms of the 1979 peace treaty with Israel. Now, Dave, that sounds like Hamas, doesn't it?
Exactly, John. Yeah. It's getting volatile.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it says here, furthermore, Cairo has recently conducted a joint naval drill with Ankara. Now, I follow this regularly, folks, and I didn't see this naval drill. The first such exercise in 13 years. The latest development is very worrying because it doesn't make sense for Egypt to attack Israel on its own, but it is feasible to do so with Turkey. There you go, Dave. There you go. Now, for the first time since Dave, do you remember when Israel made that treaty with Turkey with and then the Israeli, then the Egyptian president was assassinated, Anwar Sadat. Do you remember
that? I do not remember.
Yeah, but it was like
I remember he was assassinated.
Yeah, but it was like 1979. I think that was the year. That was the year. So since then, until the UN meeting last month, Egypt has not really had anything derogatory to say about Israel. Now, they didn't say anything nice about Israel, but they didn't have anything derogatory to say. But at the UN, the Egyptian president, Sisi, S-I-S-S-I is his name, he said right. that Israel was their enemy. And that got everybody's attention. Everybody's attention. So what they're doing is it's complete propaganda in Egypt now. Everywhere you turn on the radio, I mean, posters, street signs or street posters and all, Israel the enemy, Israel the enemy, Israel the enemy, Israel the enemy, all over the place. Kids in school, Israel's the enemy, Israel's the enemy, Zionists, Zionists. And it's worked because the Egyptian population is all worked up over Israel. Now, the Egyptian government is, except for the statement that Israel is evil, the Egyptian government is not that vocal, but the people below it, the people under the government there, it's like a boiling cauldron, and the Egyptian government is stirring it up, Dave. So it's only a matter of time until something happens, Dave, and the Egyptian people are ready to go for war with Israel. Go ahead, Dave.
And John, you mentioned now that Turkey is kind of holding hands with the Egyptians, and the leader of Turkey has in the past basically called for the assassination of Benjamin Netanyahu. So they're on board with what the Egyptian people want to do. So it's a satanic alliance.
Yeah, yeah. Let me read a little more. The actions of both Muslim countries establish the conditions for causus belli, that means a reason for a war, which consists of war declarations, intent, and military capability. Albeit Egypt is a little far behind with regard to the latter. The Egyptian anti-Israel declarations are getting worse by the day. Egypt, moreover, hosts senior Hamas officials in its territory, a fact that goes under the radar in the media, she continued. The two even made a pact before 7/23 that the terrorist group would not target Egypt or cooperate with Islamic terrorist cells inside Egyptian territory, while Cairo will overlook weapons smuggled into Gaza. So there we go, Dave. This is, and everybody listening, this is watching. And we know, Dave, that there is that war, according to the prophet Ezekiel, in the last days, when the day of the Lord is near. And it's going to obliterate Egypt. And it says that something terrible is happening to the Nile River. It's going to stop flowing. All the fish are going to die. The people are going to have to evacuate Egypt and go into all the world. And my contention on it is there's maybe the combination of Egypt and Turkey. Well, it'll be all of Islam coming at Israel. Israel's only way to defend itself in the case of Egypt would be to nuke the Aswan Dam, Dave. And that would explain these strange reports in the scriptures about the Nile River in the end times. It stops flowing and all the fish are in it dying and the people have to flee Egypt into all the world. Any comments on this, Dave?
Well, it's kind of sad when you think about it, because Egypt, incredibly vulnerable with the Aswan High Dam. If and when Israel did nuke that specific dam, radioactive water would spread all through Egypt, and the majority of the population live along the Nile River. So exactly what the prophets say would happen is going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. It's an excellent article, folks. I mean, I could continue reading this. They're just loaded with great information. So remember, the title of the article, in case you want to look it up, is Egypt on a Collision Path with Israel? And it's dated October 4th. October 4th. Dave, I don't see anything big now until this is signed, the hostages come back, and then what happens? You know, how much time? Oh, there's also talk, Saudi Arabia has gotten involved in this, that the Saudi Arabia is thinking about joining the Abrahamic Accords, I believe it's called. So now that the war is over against Hamas and Israel has like a treaty there, that things are calming down and the Abrahamic Accords may go forward, Dave. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I did. But I think one of the red lines is Saudi Arabia is demanding a two-state solution. So
yeah,
I don't
know if
that's going to work out.
It's only talk then, you know. Now, Dave, I want to – there's a lot of things I could cover here, but there's something that I think is very, very important, and we've really got to address this, and it has to do with Tucker Carlson and several others, very influential, and I think that they've gone insane over Israel. So here's an article here. It's Incitement, Not Journalism. Tucker Carlson suggests Israel is planning to blow up the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And the reason for that is they want to blow up the mosque and then build a temple. And it can start a big, huge war with Islam, and then the Jews can build a temple. So these people thrive on conspiracies against Israel. They thrive, over it. So this is the latest one. This is the first time I've heard this. But a lot of it's coming from Alex Jones. There are other people on there. There's some guy, Mike Adams, is it? He calls himself the Health Ranger. And there's others that constant conspiracies nonstop about Israel, Zionism. Israel is trying to take over the world. So nonstop, folks. And I think it's very serious because we know what's going on the left. In fact, many of the things that are coming from the quote right now sounds just like the left. I could see them joining together over Israel, the hatred of Israel. So I want to read this, what I posted here, and sort of talk about this a little, Dave, because let me read this first and then I'll give you background. Quote, Tucker Carlson just told millions of viewers that Israel is plotting to blow up one of Islam's holiest sites. There is just one problem. He doesn't know what he's talking about. There is this kind of behind-the-scenes push to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, which would require destroying the third holiest place in Islam, the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Carlson stated. I've talked to a bunch of people about this who think it is imminent. This is not crazy to think that the mosque would be blown up. No, Tucker It is crazy. Israel is not plotting to immediately blow up the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and saying that they are saying there is that isn't just ignorant. It is fueling anti-Israel hatred. The first thing should be done, as pointed out to Tucker Carlson's video, is that he showed an image he claimed was the Al-Aqsa Mosque, but actually was the Dome of the Rock. They are not the same. So I see this reaching a feverish. It's like they're thriving every day on Israel, is Zionist. So what I did was I had some scriptures about God being a Zionist and things like that. So I'd post them on these articles, and I'm banned, Dave, now. I'm banned. They banned me from Alex Jones because I was posting scripture about Zion. This is very serious. Their hatred for Israel is palatable. The Jews. It's not. It's the Jews. And Zionism. Zionism. So I call them, we have the Trump derangement syndrome. I call it that's TDS. I call it ZDS, Zionist derangement syndrome. Every evil thing that you could think of, they are claiming that Israel was behind the assassination of John Kennedy. Yeah. That Israel was behind 9/11. And it goes on and on and on and on. But they are gaining traction, folks. And they could really split the Republican Party. I don't know how big they are now, but they are certainly, and I'll tell you when it started. It started, this whole thing started on October 7th. Once Israel was attacked on October 7th, all of this stuff came to the surface. It like exploded. One of them that I came across said that the reason Iran is attempting to build a nuclear bomb is to defend itself against Israel, because Israel wants to control the entire Middle East. So Iran is building a nuclear bomb that it needs to protect itself against Israel. They say this with a straight face. Dave, on what I said so far, do you have any comments?
Well, John, sad to say, it's setting the stage for Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. During the tribulation, there's going to be another Holocaust targeting Israel. And this specific things that are happening is inflaming anti-Semitism.
It is. Really,
we spoke earlier today. Oh, yeah.
It's seriously inflaming it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Dave. I'm just agreeing with you. It is seriously inflaming here in America, in what we would call the right wing, the conservatives. This is, it's growing exponentially, folks. Go ahead, Dave.
And in Europe, John, you spoke earlier that there's massive protests.
Hundreds of thousands over today and yesterday.
From the river to the sea.
Yes.
Yeah, when they say from the river to the sea, they don't want to make a two-state solution. They want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave. So I want to bring this to our attention, and they are constantly now trying to prove, because Charlie Kirk had been very sympathetic to Israel, and apparently with Netanyahu, I think he had been invited to come to Israel, and they're saying that he was going to break from Israel because of the genocide that. No, not they, it's these groups, I'm telling you, because of the genocide against the children of Gaza, and that Israel was behind assassinating them. And they're gobbling it up. They've lost their minds. Very serious, folks. And there's Candace Owens, who, when I first became aware of her, I thought she was tremendous. Politically, I thought she was tremendous. She's lost her mind. She believes that during that she's apparently become a Catholic, and one of their they used to Catholics used to preach that during the Middle Ages, the Jews would take Christian children and kill them and use their blood to make matzahs or something, whatever it was. She's actually, I heard her spouting that. In fact, she's been banned from, I think, well, no, Australia for sure. They will not let her come. Things like that she's saying. So this is serious now. And it's something that we need to pray against. And that there people that are gullible for these conspiracy theories, whatever one comes down, they're believing one after the other, after the other, after the other. So, Dave, the churches need to, the real churches here, one of the things they got to do is educate their people about the scriptures and what God's plan for Israel and the everlasting covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's why Israel is a nation again. The prophecies like in Ezekiel 36 about God bringing them back in sin. When Israel becomes a nation, when it comes back, it will be in sin. You'll see that in Ezekiel 36, 26. And it lists there that God is not happy with the Jews, but for his namesake, he's going to bring them back into the land. God is the one that judges the Jews, not us. Not us. So I want to make, it isn't serious, I want to make everybody aware of it. I will post on it as it, I have been posting on it. But this one here with Tucker Carlson, and the reason this in particular is so dangerous, the one thing that will get all the Muslims' attention is the Alexka Mosque. That's why Hamas claimed, when they started the war, it was to defend the Alexka Mosque from the Jews, who are apes and pigs and defiling it. They were trying to use that card, which really didn't work out. But I suppose that if the Alexka Mosque was blown up and it was pinned on the Jews, that would do it. And so, he's talking about things that will really agitate the Muslims big time. So it is very dangerous. That's one of the buttons. If you push the Alexka Mosque button, you certainly can get their attention. So, Dave, we don't have much time left. Would you please comment there? This is very disturbing, folks. I came across this article today, and it's kind of left a like a pall inside me. It's because I don't want to see them go that way. You know, I thought Tucker Carlson was real good, and to turn like this, and others, you know, others turning, it's like sad, really sad, but it's politically dangerous because it can fracture the Republican Party because they won't support Trump. In fact, they're wavering now over his support for Israel. A lot of them won't already. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, John, I saw quite a few episodes of Tucker Carlson talking about Israel. And to say he's inflaming the situation is being kind. And I think he was debating Tom Cruise. Not, what's the gentleman's name? Cruz?
Oh, Senator Cruz from Texas.
Senator Cruz, exactly, not Tom Cruise. Senator Cruz, and they were talking about Genesis 12:3, and Tucker Carlson was talking about, oh, you know, they're not the chosen people. The Christians are the chosen people, completely ignoring God's everlasting covenant with Abraham. So, sad to say, he's clueless, and like you said, he's inflaming the situation. And to talk about the Alexka Mosque, when Hamas attacked Israel, they called it the Alaska Deluge.
Yes.
Specifically trying to defend the Alaska Mosque. So it's not very bright, John. Not very bright. John, this is the tip of the iceberg. This is nothing compared to what's going to be coming up during the tribulation. And, you know, sad to say, well, first of all, let's have some good news, okay? The good news is the two witnesses are going to be going to Jerusalem, okay? it's going to be pretty obvious what they're saying is fire down from heaven, plagues as often as they will. When they die, when they get assassinated, get resurrected on global television, and ascend to heaven, that's going to be, how can we say, quite a message to the Jewish people that what they're saying is true. But in the beginning of the tribulation, the Jewish people are going to fall for the Antichrist. But eventually they'll figure it out. So, John, we know exactly what's going to be happening. We don't know exactly when, but we have the overall picture. And Tucker Carlson is contributing to the satanic, how can we say, deluge that's going to come against Israel. It's terrible. It's terrible. And he's not stupid, but he has to be educated, John. So hopefully we have to pray for him that the Lord, and you know, Huckabee, okay, he's a Baptist, former Baptist minister. He had that speech in Jerusalem. Maybe Tucker listened to it, maybe not. But it's just very sad, John, to see this happening.
What I am a little concerned of, and I'm just a little concerned that Trump, because he is a politician, although he's not running for re-election, but the right wing here turning so much against Israel that it could influence him or maybe some of the politicians. Because we see the Democrat Party is about half gone already against Israel. There's many, many, many in the Democrat Party that are supporting Hamas. And they're going to support the Palestinians against Israel. So we're weakening our support. Dave, years ago now, I can't tell you how many years it was, but Netanyahu came here, and I remember he met that senator from Nevada, Harry. You can see his face, Harry. He was ahead of the Senate, Harry. I can't remember his name.
Harry Reid?
Yeah, Reid. Reid was his last name, yeah. And anyways, oh, there was a big warm welcome. Reid had a big warm welcome for Netanyahu. And it was like the whole Democratic Party was lined up behind Netanyahu and Israel. Not anymore, Dave. Not anymore. It's catering really fast. Really fast. So we don't want, we need the Republicans to stay strong, but there's a wing here now that's fracturing, and it can be dangerous politically, Dave. Very dangerous. All right. What do you have for us in closing, Dave?
Sure, John. Well, one last thought before I give you an update on the shipping department. Zechariah says all nations are going to gather against Israel because of the problem with, you know, Jerusalem and Judea. So all means all. So this is, how can we say, part of a prediction, the prophecy that's going to happen, John. So it's sad to say. So a little update. John, do you have those pictures that I sent you over the week?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, you have the pictures?
I'm getting them now.
Oh, good. Awesome. Okay. I spoke to John during the week. It's a long time to do, but we're going to have a link on the website where I'm going to suggest that you go to the website and take a look at what the shipping department accomplishes. To say it's unbelievable, to say hundreds and hundreds of people have been saved is an understatement. We send them what we call the prophecy pack. We have John's Broken Hearted track, his 666 track, The Last Trumpet, the Jerusalem edition, The Last Shofar, Typology of Joseph, the Ezekiel file, the whole thing talking about the barcodes. We have Jonathan Edwards' sermon in the hands of an angry God, and quite a few other things. So to make a long story short, right now the shipping department is dead in the water. So we just need help with funds for shipping. And we've been doing this for years. We've never had a pastor say, please do not ship more materials. The only thing we get is intense responses saying, please send us more materials. So that's the story, John. So, John, I will talk to you the week, and I want to thank everybody for listening.
All right, Dave, we've got a nice letter here. Let me read it from Brother Nathan Safuna.
Yeah, we've been working with Pastor Nathan for a long time.
He seems to be the first one, Dave. I seem to remember his name in the very beginning.
Exactly, and then it spread all over the place.
Greetings in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you are doing good with your beloved family and church members of Abba Father Fellowship. My trip to Moi Farm, Tanzania country was very successful. Pastor James Simeon invited me to his church. I taught them about the 666 surveillance system, about the mark of the beast, and that the people would not buy or sell without the mark, and of Genesis 15:16, which says Abraham believed God and it was counted as righteousness. I also taught them about being healed of souls, Luke 4:18, and many people were blessed. After request who wanted prayers, they came, seven people accepted Jesus Christ. Glory to God. After ministering, I distributed all the newsletter, and I left them with God bless you so much for sending me newsletters and supporting for transporting. May our Heavenly Father bless you so much and expand your territories. Your brother in the Lord, Pastor Nathan. All right, Dave.
Yeah, John, one last comment before I go. One last quick comment. For years, in the past, we've shipped the materials to 32 different countries. But I don't know the exact year that it happened. But then all of a sudden, all we've been shipping is Kenya. Then I would say in the last 6 months, we've gotten requests from Malawi, Tanzania, Burundi, Somalia, Ethiopia, and a couple other countries. And we just can't keep up with it because there's no funds available. So we just pray funds come in, and talking about a revival, John, every time we send materials, people get saved. It's very simple. All right, John, so I'll talk to you during the week.
Okay? All right, God Dave. Bless. God bless you. God bless you. All right, let me get back over here. I got so many things open right now. Okay, here we go. And so we want to take a look. That is troubling, folks, which I shared with you about Tucker Carlson. I hate to see it, but they're into one conspiracy theory after another. You know, it gets to the point where if there was something real, I wouldn't believe them, because they just say these conspiracy theories, then nothing happens. Then they go on to another one, and they go on to another one, and another one, and they don't stop. This is started on October 7th, 2023. I didn't see really any of that before October 7th. And then it's been like nonstop since. Something happened, folks. Something triggered spiritually in them. Not good. Not good. All right. I have a lot of other information, something that we want to keep on top of. So let me go over to my other blogs here and pull up. And I think this is something that we have to look at real seriously. And it has to do about Venezuela. Because the American military just blew up another shipload of cocaine or whatever drug it is off the coast of Venezuela. And I think that's the fourth one. And they're carrying a substantial amount of drugs. I mean, it's substantial. And also the Supreme Court ruled that they gave Trump permission to deport 500,000 Venezuelans who Biden I won't say brought them in illegally, but he, under some provision, he brought them into the United States. He allowed them to come in. So now the 500,000 are going to be deported. They're probably in the process of doing it now. Now, speaking of that, since Trump has been president in the end of January, 2.2 million illegal aliens have left. And surprisingly, most of them, I think it was like a million and a half left on their own, and they were given money to leave and the ability to apply for citizenship. So they've left. And then a bunch of them were found like with illegal Social Security and all. That's been all cut off. And so they've left. And then thousands and thousands and thousands of criminals have been caught and deported. And that's in the courts. The Democrats love these criminals. It's amazing. It's amazing. They like make martyrs out of them. No matter what they do to the American people, the Democrats love these people. Literally, it's like a love affair with them. And one by one, that's all being won very slowly in the courts. But we are on the verge of possible war with Venezuela. And it's not going to be a war them, their planes attacking us and all. What he'll do is he'll probably destroy, what we'll do is the military will destroy the Venezuelan Air Force. It'll destroy their military headquarters and all. They'll probably blockade the Venezuelan harbors. And I'm sure the American government knows where the cocaine producing labs are, whatever other drugs they're involved in, and they'll move to destroy them because he has permission. He apprised Congress of the situation and that Venezuela is at war with us because Venezuela is providing the drugs that have killed like X amount of thousands of Americans every year. So as of right now, from what I'm reading and seeing develop, at any time, we could hear that the United States has attacked Venezuela, has taken out their entire military, we're blockading their harbors, and we have attacked their drug storage, drug producing, maybe bombed their crops of cocaine and blew it up, but we're on the verge of it. So I don't know how we could look about how serious that would be, but nonetheless, it's a country and they are doing great damage to us. Through the years, I mean, they're responsible for at least thousands and thousands and thousands of Americans dying by the drugs that they have provided. Now, of course, the people took the drugs, but that doesn't excuse Venezuela from having an illegal supply route into the United States. They shouldn't be doing it. So, and I think this should have been done a long time ago. The presidents ignored it. Should not be ignored. So apparently the military is ready. They have it all planned out. They will send they'll send the jets. We have the F-35s and they'll send the jets and destroy whatever structure in Venezuela they need to stop this drug dealing. Now Maduro, there's possibility they may target him, that he hasn't come up in this. But so it could be as early as this week, this coming week, folks. That's the talk because of the way the military is preparing. We also have 4,000 Marines and landing ships. And the Marines could be, we could send the Marines into Venezuela also, which I don't know if that's possible or not. I mean, he could do it, but we just wouldn't want one Marine to be killed over that. I mean, if it was necessary, absolutely necessary, okay. So there we are with the possibility of him completely stopping the drugs coming from Venezuela, because it is state-sponsored. So in a sense, that's state-sponsored terrorism, deliberately targeting the United States. And I don't know why this wasn't done a long time ago. It should have been. It should have been. All right, so that's the latest about Venezuela. Like I said, today, or at least it's reported today, that the Navy blew up another one of those high-speed boats loaded with cocaine. But that was the fourth. This is all under the heading of wars and rumors of wars. And then we look at China is working with Russia and providing Russia with satellite intelligence for missile and drone strikes against the Ukraine. So apparently Russia does not have that technical capability, but China does. And on the other side of it, today there's all sorts of talk that the United States is providing Ukraine with the satellite information to go deep into Russia. And apparently today there was a missile strike in Russia, deep into Russia, taking out the Russian energy capabilities, you know, with the making you know, oil and gas and all of that. So this can expand, folks. You know, if Russia is going to use China, I guess we can justify helping Ukraine with their long distance, like 1,500 miles into Russia. I mean, that's a long way in, and there's all sorts of military bases there. There are all sorts of oil refineries. They have big rail centers. The Ukrainians have been after the Russian rail centers, blowing them up. Military production, where they produce the ammunition and all. Most of them are within that 1,500-mile radius. So this could get real ugly, folks. And every one of these things has the potential of getting out of control. Also, I've been following this for many years, and Russia now, and I periodically I do post this on the blog, because everything about the Russian economy is disintegrating, which I believe is true. But at what point isn't Russia going to be able to focus and function anymore? So here's the article. Vladimir Putin facing economic hell as Ukraine ramps up the drone strikes. Quote, in the latest assault, explosions tore through the main processing unit of the Avtsevsky oil refinery, a crucial supplier for the Kremlin's war effort, which has already agitated concern among NATO members, with Denmark experiencing suspicious drone activity, and that would be activity from Russia. And now today there was another hit on a big Russian oil refinery. So apparently the Ukrainians have taken out, I think, 20% of the Russians' refinery. And the Russians are hurting now. That there's big, long lines at the gas stations in Russia because there's a big shortage. The Ukrainians have taken 20% or maybe more out. So Russia can't go on like that. And at some point, it has to break. And what happens is their economy is just blown apart because They're in a war economy, and they're not building things that people need, or, you know, like car parts, let's say, electronics, all sorts of things. They've stopped it because they have to feed their war machine. But then that shrinks their economy for taxes and money to pay for the war machine. So now Russia is in a death spiral. This is very serious. And I said this from day one, going back, was it coming out 3 years now? Or is it 4 years? Losing time on it. February, I know that started. Because at some point in the long run, their economy cannot take this. And their economy can break apart, which is incredibly serious. And always, we must remember that they have those nasty nuclear weapons. And if their economy can't hold up and it's breaking apart, something may push Putin to use those weapons. We always have to remember that. Then there's another article here. I'll just read the headings to you. Putin oil crisis growing as Ukraine devastates another key site deep inside of Russia. So that's what I'm telling you. Ukrainians with their drones and their missiles going deep, deep, deep into Russia and hitting these key targets. And they have taken out about 20% of Russia's oil producing. And Russia's livelihood depends upon the oil. Okay, during the week there, the U.S. unveils a terrifying B-21 Raider nuclear bomber and warning to Putin. So we have this super weapon. It's like going to replace the B-2s. And there it is. It's apparently we're putting it in our arsenal now. It's called a B-21 Raider nuclear bomb. So it will carry or can carry nuclear weapons. Another heading. China unveils new super weapon capable of global strikes, intensifying World War III fears. That super weapon is a huge aircraft carrier that China has. It's official now that this aircraft carrier is seaworthy. All right. I guess the last one we'll look at now is Trump says NATO should shoot down Russian aircraft if they breach the alliance airspace. Now, since he said that, I have not seen any reports of the Russian drones or what else was it? Well, it was airplanes. It was a Russian warplanes were flying over Polish territory and over Estonia, I believe. And apparently that has stopped. Well, that's good, because that keeps tensions low. There's more, but I think that's enough for now about wars and rumors of wars. But I do want to touch upon what's going on here. Now, it's amazing, folks, in America. It's like every day I wake up, and I've said this many times, it's like Christmas. A year ago, everything was super depressing. Biden as president and all that was going on and all the lying that would come from, you'd see excerpts of a Senate hearing or a congressional hearing, and Biden's administration there, lies after lies after lies after lies. It got so I didn't, why watch it anymore? They can't tell the truth. They won't tell the truth. But now it's just the opposite. You know, I wake up and when I get to the news and I look at it, wow, look at this. This is exciting. And wow, look at that. This is exciting. So also, besides the political realm, there's moves of the Lord, which I'm following mostly on college campuses. So I've seen nice moves of the Lord now. Like every week, college campuses, thousands in the meetings, sometimes thousands getting saved, hundreds getting baptized. This is continual. And this is exciting because, like some of the great outpourings in the past, that's how they started. I think of James McCready and the great outpouring of 1800 and how there were peppered throughout the country, especially Virginia. You know, there were churches that were, the Holy Spirit hit, and there was a nice move, and many, many people came to the Lord, and the area had experienced like a revival for the Lord. So there were those going on, and then finally the big one hit, and that was the one that James, Pastor James McCready led, Logan County, Kentucky, the Red River Church. We even know the date, June 23rd, 1800. And that was a nuclear explosion, spiritually speaking, that just spread like a huge forest fire all throughout America, changed the course of the history of the nation. That's what we're praying for now, the same thing, huge move of the Holy Spirit. So here's one. This is nothing short of a move of God. Nearly 5,000 decisions for Christ at recent, quote, life surge events. Through worship, teaching, and practical strategies, attendees were encouraged to align their faith with their finances. Now, I went on to look at it, and they did preach the gospel. How to build businesses, steward wealth, and invest in kingdom purposes. Reads a statement from the organization. However, the most impact of the weekend was 1,033 people who made decisions for Christ, seeing thousands of people worshiping together. Over 1,000 responded to the gospel in one city. There's nothing short of a move of God, said Life Surge President Sean Marshall. Our prayer is that this is just the beginning, a revival in Grand Rapids and beyond. So, like I say, I'm seeing things like this all the time, mostly in the college campus. That's where the big ones are occurring, or and all over. I mean, there was a big one, just a big one in Ohio State. Oh, that one was interesting. I don't know if I shared it here or not, but the one in the Ohio State was really interesting because there was one player on the football team, the Ohio State football team, and he led huge numbers of the Ohio, of the players, to Christ. And then they had an event in the college, and thousands came to the Lord. Several thousand came to the Lord on campus, and it all came from the football team and that one player. I don't know his name, but he's the one that the Lord used to start a revival on campus. Amazing. Amazing. The big thing we have to watch now, and this is very, very dangerous, the hour we're in, is the Democrat Party. Oh, hold on, folks. That was Jamil contacting me. Seems to be provoking an insurrection. And we got two things going on now. We have the federal government closed. And then we have this Saturday, there's an event, something about claiming Trump is being a king. And they're going to come to Washington and protest him. But this thing about the cities is so serious, folks. And we're dealing really with unstable people, really unstable. They are lying and lying and lying. They can't tell the truth. The ones leading this are Portland, the mayor of Portland, Oregon, and the governor. then the mayor of Illinois, the governor of Illinois, and the mayor of Chicago. Now, there's others involved also, but those are the big ones. And they're talking about everybody's accepted in the cities, and Trump is this monster. The immigration agents are Gestapo, and they're keeping this up and up and up and up. And they don't seem to care about American citizens being killed. I just read, yesterday, that some illegal alien killed six. He was a drunk driver, and he killed six people drunk driving. He couldn't have been here. This is constantly happening, constantly. Now, in Texas, there isn't a, especially with the governor here, the Texas cities can't act like that. They might want to act like that, especially Austin. Austin is a wicked city, folks. It's just like Berkeley or San Francisco. In fact, those that live in San Francisco, when they come to Texas, they go to Austin, seriously. And the ones that come from, like, we'll say, Pennsylvania and even like New York. I mean, the people getting out of New York, they're conservative, God-fearing people. And they're coming to Houston and Dallas, Fort Worth. But the hard left is definitely going to Austin. But they seem to want a physical confrontation, folks. Like this Saturday in Portland, they're telling everybody to come out with their lasers, and they want to take down an ICE helicopter, with federal agents. They want to shine it in. They're advertising it. They're actually advertising it. They take these laser beams and shine them into the windows of the helicopter, maybe blind the pilot's eyes. Also in Portland, Antifa was preparing to fight the federal government. And the way this could get out of hand, the way they want it to get out of hand, is for the federal government to get in a confrontation with citizens and have, like, whatever the number, the more the better killed. They want 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 protesters killed, another 100 to 200 wounded. That's what they want. Thinking that the American people will rise up against Trump, and they can then move to impeach him and all. That's their goal, folks. That's their goal. They hate America. They hate America. They want all those illegal aliens in there. And they're talking about, you know, the criminals. They want them to remain in their cities. So Trump is the villain. Immigration and naturalization are the villain. And the good guy is this mayor of Chicago, Johnson, and the governor, Pritzker, are the good guys. So we need prayer about, I mean, their agenda is out in the open. The Senate, the Democrats in the Senate and the House are really, many ways, openly supporting the rebellion. At some point, if this gets really, really, really serious, and there's maybe federal agents hurt or killed and all, there has to be some action against these senators and Congress people. There has to be. It just can't. I mean, there are federal senators calling federal agents, you know, Hitler, and attacking Trump, I guess, is one thing. But attacking the government structure that's protecting us from these illegal aliens and encouraging them to be shot or killed, wounded, they have to be held accountable. Have to be. So I want to keep you apprised of this, very, very serious. In the end, I believe, without a doubt, we're going to win. But there may be a lot of bloodshed on the way. They're desperate now. I'll be showing you how U.S. Attorney's Office is moving against the deep state. And so the mixture is bad. The deep state's being prosecuted. Their favorite money laundering operations are being shut down. Their cities and the terrible cities that they're creating, they're being brought under control. They're losing every which way. Supreme Court decisions are against them. So they're kind of pushed into a corner and they're dangerous now. And Antifa may be one of their tools, but it's like a civil war, folks. And the country is not, certain segments of the country is behind them. The vast amount is not. All right, so looking at that, here's one of the headings here. Appeals court lifts judge's order blocking Trump from mobilizing National Guard troops in Illinois. So I live in Texas, and I've been following it here in Texas, and 400 National Guard troops have left Texas, and they're in Illinois right now. They're somewhere outside of Chicago, and they're planning on going into Chicago and protecting the federal buildings from being attacked and protecting the vehicles of anything that's federal. They can protect that. They're not going in for law enforcement. They're going in for protection, and they can also protect the federal agents that are doing all these arrests. Now, I think they're going to be authorized to carry loaded weapons because there's already been some dangers in Texas. There's been shots at government buildings in Texas along the border. So I think they're going to be carrying weapons, and things can get out of hand, folks. I mean, these Antifas are really, they've had years since 2020. They've had years operating free. You don't hear of any of them being arrested, really ever. Well, that's coming to an end now. So, this weekend, this week, but especially this weekend, could be very, very significant. So the Chicago, excuse me, the Texas National Guard is now in Illinois. The latest I've heard, it's positioned to go into Chicago maybe sometime this week. I would imagine, maybe Tuesday, and we'll see what's going to happen. Now, are they going to back down? Is the mayor going to back down? The governor of Illinois back down? Or are they going to bring this into a confrontation? All right, here's another article. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson declares rebellion against feds, vows to lead resistance against federal authorities. I mean, this is the mayor of one of the largest cities in the country, and he's going to lead resistance. I don't think it's passive, folks. They may stage it in the beginning as passive, but these are violent people. Here's from the article. In an interview on Tuesday, Johnson claimed, "This is not immigration. This is about a president who wants to enact authoritarianism in the country, where the rule of law doesn't apply to him." Of course, it applies to him. He's acting under the rule of law, and a one individual alone. No, the courts are backing him up. He's got the Republican Party. He's got governors backing him up. He's got people within these cities wanting the federal government to come in to bring it under control because they're turning it under just crime-ridden, they're turning it into like a third world city. Johnson signed an executive order this week making Chicago an ICE-free zone and prohibiting the use of city property for federal immigration operations. His action to impede the federal government's lawful authority and shelter, harbor, and shield illegal aliens from deportations are illegal. He is also inciting his radical militants to rebel, engage in an uprising against the United States law enforcement. So the stage is being set now because Trump is, the Freds are coming in. From all, they are working in there now, but on a low level. And he's talking about sending the National Guard in there so that there can be a huge move. They're going to bring in all sorts of federal agents. They can bring the National Guard in, and they're simply going to overwhelm areas, high criminal areas of Chicago. All right, now here's what I was telling you earlier. Portland Antifa declares war on U.S. military, calls for mass laser attack on helicopters over Portland ICE facility this Saturday. Oh, it was supposed to be today. I thought it was supposed to be next week. So I haven't heard of anything about this. October 11th. I thought it was next week because that's when that supposedly big march on Washington is taking place with no king. So apparently, as far as I could tell, Antifa was not effective. Okay, here's something interesting. Rutgers University has a petition has been signed by 1,000 students to disband school's Turning Point USA chapter. The reason they're doing this is they are accusing TP USA of promoting hate speech and creating a toxic environment. So they started it this week. They got 1,000 signatures already, and that the chapter has incited violence and made the community fearful. Quote, having lived in New Jersey my entire life, I've always cherished the inclusive education environment we have cultivated here. So whatever way they're presenting this is TP USA is making them live in fear on campus. And that's their approach for trying to disband the chapter. The problem is we have the freedom of speech, and Rutgers is a state school. Private schools have much more leeway, but not the public schools. So now in Europe, I mean, we are really blessed, folks, to have the First Amendment. You know, a lot of times we think more about the Second Amendment, but the right for religious liberty and the right to the government can't control our speech is a tremendous blessing because they're getting shut down. Right now in England, there's been hundreds of them arrested for going online and saying something the government doesn't like about the government, or saying something about Islam. Those are the two things now in Europe. Saying something about the government or saying something about Muslims. They haven't been successful here. We've been getting a lot of good things going our way. But I would expect more college campuses to do the same as Rutgers to try and stop. The message is obviously doing a lot of damage to them because many, many, many souls are coming on campus are coming to Christ. So praise the Lord. So this is their attempt to stop. Their thoughts can't stop it. Their reasoning can't stop it. Because it's all built on lies and nonsense. And when it comes up against the truth, they lose. So they always have to revert to the government to shut us down. Always. Always. All right. Here's another interesting one. Grand jury indicts New York Attorney General Letina James on bank fraud charges in Virginia federal court. Now, I've seen the evidence. The evidence has been put online, and so she deserves to go to jail. There is evidence there. And the ironic thing is she tried prosecuting President Trump for mortgage fraud. So she was doing exactly what she claimed him of. The thing, I watched the best I could, the case in New York on President Trump, and it was absolutely ridiculous. They said he committed fraud on his claiming his property was worth $20 million or something, when it's worth, like the land alone is worth maybe $500 million. He's got 20 acres. He's got like a golf course on it and all. I mean, it was a frame. It was really a bad, bad. It was all, he was framed by the establishment in New York City. So what happened here was she bought a house in Norfolk, Virginia, and said that it was a primary residence. Now, at the same time, she is the attorney general for the state of New York. And the law in the state of New York says you have to have been a resident of New York State 6 months before you'd be elected attorney general. But she says she's the attorney general, and she said it's a primary residence in Virginia. So then she said it was just residential. So you get better insurance rates, mortgage rates. Then her niece lived in it, and her niece is a wanted felon. I can't make this up. The attorney general of New York, niece, is in her home, the attorney general's home in Virginia, who she says that's her primary residence in Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia. That's her primary residence, and that she's working out of Albany, New York, which is the capital. I mean, and so she's getting these great insurance rates and mortgage rates. And then it turns out that she was renting it, which she wasn't supposed to do according to her contract. And she was reporting renting it income to the IRS. Apparently she did report it. Now, this isn't like a huge, big deal, but for her it is. For her it is. Being the Attorney General of the New York State, lying on forms that it's your primary residence, and it can't be, it cannot be, and that she's not going to rent it, which she did. And her nephew is living in it, who has a outstanding warrants for her arrest. But she did the same thing in New York City. So they've got her, and this here, mortgage fraud is a big deal, folks. As far as crime and penalty, it's treated like a big deal. So she faces being convicted of a felony, and she's the attorney general. And she went after Trump for the very thing that she did, mortgage fraud. Only he didn't commit mortgage fraud. No one was harmed. The mortgage was paid back. The people that took the mortgage, the banks that took the mortgage, said everything was fine. He didn't do anything wrong. They still found him guilty. So now she, at a minimum, if they find her guilty and don't give, they'll have to fine her. But she'll lose her law license. She'll be disbarred from the law bar, and she'll lose her job as the attorney general. So amazing. Exactly what she tried to do to Trump was done to her. Only he was innocent, and so I've seen it. I've seen the mortgage application and all the other forms that go with it, and all those all posted online. And she's going to have to claim, she's a lawyer, and she's going to have to claim, I made a mistake. I didn't know that I said it was my home residence. When she signed it, the document, she signed the document. Amazing, folks. Amazing. Okay. There was a gang leader from Chicago and his name, the name of the gang were the Latin Kings. So he put out a $10,000 bounty on for the assassination of the U.S. attorney. No, not the U.S. attorney, the man that was ahead of immigration and naturalization in Chicago. So he was arrested for one count of murder for hire. Now, what was very interesting, this exposed the crime, like these gangs in Chicago. I never heard of the Latin Kings in Chicago. All I heard was during the weekend in Chicago, there were 47 people shot and 8 were killed. That week after week after week, that's the numbers. Sometimes higher, sometimes lower. But I never heard that the Latin Kings were a big gang or any of those gang names. But here's something interesting. The FBI said that there were 100,000 gang members in Chicago. 100,000. Amazing. And a big number of these gangs were Chinese. They've got Chinese gangs. And these Chinese gangs centered in Chicago. Now, this just came out this week. These Chinese gangs in Chicago have a network across the United States, but they specifically talked about Ohio. Ohio. And they have it for trafficking. They're trafficking children and prostitution and all from Chicago to Ohio. 100,000 gang members and a significant amount are Chinese. Looks like the FBI is going to have a field day in there. The Chicago police aren't. So my theory on this is those gangs really can't operate without the police knowing it. They just simply can't. There's a lot of bribery going on. And I think the district attorney's office in Chicago, and not only Chicago, all these corrupt cities. But we're talking about Chicago. So the mayor's office, district attorney's office, judges, the police, all of them are taking bribes. And that's how they're flourishing. They're paying bribes to everybody. And that's how these gang members operate like they're operating. It has to be, folks. So the city is completely corrupt, from the mayor's office, judges, district attorney. You don't go along with them, they'll put you in jail. But you go along with them and pay the bribe money, then they flourish. So my prayer is that when the federal government goes in there, they're going to bust that system wide open. Bust it wide open. If there's 100,000 gang members, where are you going to put them in jail? 100,000 in Chicago alone? That's incredible. But I don't know if we have to make a military, turn a military base in to arrest them and keep them there. So be it. All right. 2 hours is gone very, very fast. In the third hour, I open it up for questions and comments. And for that, you can call in to 717-409-5553. And I'd love to hear you call in, folks, for questions or comments. I'd like to see a lot of interaction here. So let me get over to, here we go. And we're going to open it up for questions and comments. And I do want some prayer. But lead off is Sister Sharon. Hello, Sharon.
Yes. Yes. Hi, Chaplain John. And I don't have any questions or comments other than the fact that I'm just kind of sitting here or laying here waiting to see what's going to happen with all of this stuff going on, you know, especially overseas and stuff with Israel. And there's just so much. There's just so much talk.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Sister Sharon.
You know, so all I can say is we need to pray. We need to pray for people to realize what's going on and pray for their salvation and healing and for God to come and get us all out of here.
Well, not yet, Sister Sharon. The fields are white into harvest.
Right, you're right. Yep, you're right. We've got to let people know about salvation. We've got to harvest the crop.
Yes, yes, it's white unto harvest. So
amen.
When the last olive is plucked off the tree, right. even so,
and come, that last mustard seed.
There you
last
go.
Mustard seed.
Yeah, come on, Jesus. We got there's no more harvest left. Come on. Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. And then Sister Rita.
Hello, Captain John.
Hello.
It was a great evening. With all this information that you were giving out, it was just really informative.
Good. Good. I look for the good information. I want everybody to be on top of what's going on in Venezuela, for example, to be on top. If nothing else, then pray, you know, to pray.
Yes.
But I also want you to know about if there's big moves of the Lord and hundreds of thousands came to the Lord and baptized and all that, because that's edifying. We have to hear that.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for all the information you gave out tonight.
All right. And then we have Laura here from Arlington, Texas. Hello. Okay, Laura, thank you for being here. And then Gigi and Randy. Hello.
Yes, good evening. That was a very good update. That was very interesting.
What particular one stood out the most? You know what?
Oh, I just think it's interesting about what was going on in about possible war with Venezuela, and because I know that they have ships out there and all kinds of things going on. I just didn't listen to. Any of the news that might actually cover it, and it just prompted me also to continue to pray because I don't know if I should make a comment about this, but the guy that you said was he used to be okay, but he's being funded by somebody in the Middle East. That's why he has his channel like that. I don't remember which country it is, but he's being backed by them. And I told Randy some time ago, he was laughing. It was like mocking, kind of a mocking spirit or something. I couldn't. So we stopped watching them some time ago, but there's something weird going on there.
And we have to be aware of what's going on with like Tucker Carlson. And others. I mean, it is serious what they're doing. Serious coming against Israel like this.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I mean, like I said, some of these people we watched in the past, but there was like a certain point where we both said, "Okay, this person is totally weird. What is going on?" Right? And so you can see that judgment is going to come on them too.
Oh, absolutely. That's what's scary.
Yeah. Very scary. Yeah. And so, and you think, okay, well, it's like to me, it's a spirit. You can see it because they're all talking the same things and acting the same way.
Yes.
Doing this weird laughing stuff, which is, like I said, I think it's like a mocking spirit, and we're kind of more sensitive to that maybe because of what, one of our pastors was explaining to us different things about people in the news and that kind of thing. But anyway, it's just, Randy won't make a comment on what he thinks, you know, how soon the coming of Christ is. But I mean, I think just the whole, what's going on in Europe and just all over, it's just, you know, every day there's some new, new thing that is coming up, and people are, you can kind of see, it's like the spirit of the age, I guess I would like to refer to it as.
Well, just hold on for a second. I'd like to add something. It's very similar. Their thinking and their reaction and their attitude towards the Jews is virtually exactly the same as the Muslims.
Yeah.
Now, not the Muslims that are supporting Hamas and like rioting and all, but the general thinking of the Muslims towards the Jews in Israel is exactly like you hear from Tucker Carlson and this guy, the, what do they call him? The
Health Ranger.
Say that again. What's his name?
One of the guys, I can't think of his name, but he's
Adams. Mike Adams.
Yeah, Mike Adams. He's the Health Ranger, yeah.
Health Ranger. I thought you were saying House. Health. Yes, that's his title, Health Ranger. But there's others in there also. And they've gone insane, literally insane. Literally. They can't think right anymore. Any conspiracy theory, you tell them, they jump right on it. Right on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very pathetic. You think, okay, these guys are—they're living in the free world, right? And yet they can't—you know—they can't reason their way through anything. So it's sad. I think I find it really sad, very sad.
It is very sad when you start talking and acting like a Muslim. Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But, I just have one question I wanted to ask you. And where are you seeing the reports about the revivals? Because I don't see that any place, but maybe I'm not looking in the right place.
Yeah, I'll tell you
where to go. Are you posting this?
Yeah, it's on my blog right now.
Oh, okay. All right. But is there like one news source? Like CNN?
There's a main one. There's several, but let me find the main one here. It might give me the lead. It's where is it? Okay, here it is. Let me open it up and see. Yeah, this is the big one, CBN News.
Oh, okay, so it is CBN. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take a look at that.
I do get them from other sources, but the CBN News is the one that I get most of the reports of.
Right. Okay, well, that's good. I just appreciate that, and it's good to know so that, you know, we can be praying for these issues that are coming up.
Yeah. I mean, they're desperate now. They're desperate. And like I say, Comey is going to be indicted apparently any day. The same with like John Bolton. He's about to be indicted. That Latina James, she's been indicted. So this isn't the beginning. I mean, but there's heavy hitters there that have to come down, you know, including Hillary. She has to be indicted. I mean, she was the one that started that whole Russia thing. She actually started it. And the FBI picked it up based on Obama. Obama gave the orders. The FBI said there was nothing there. And Obama gave the orders to go after Trump, prosecute Trump.
Yeah. I mean, we're just praying. You know, we're just praying for this kind of thing going on.
Hey.
And I was happy that Kathy sent me the link so that I could see what was going on in D.C. and all the different prayer groups and everything. That was very encouraging.
Oh, good. I didn't see it. In fact, I didn't see anything on the news about it.
No, that's why I asked her where she got the, you know, where she got the information on that they had. I can't remember how big it was, but they did a they took the elements on the mall there, and that was amazing. And that there's this group that has been praying 24 hours a day for DC.
Uh huh.
Yeah, so I find that very, I'm happy that there's people doing that. So I was happy that she shared that information the other day with us all.
Good. Good.
Thank you, John.
Okay. And then the last one, Sister Kathy is not here. We have a caller from Columbus, Georgia. Andrew, hello. All right. Thank you for calling in. Well, what I'm going to do is we covered everything people shared, so we'll have I'll close in prayer, and then tomorrow morning we have our prayer time starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, and then tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern we have Pastor Fred, who has been providing wonderful, wonderful teaching for the last, I don't know, long time he's been on with us now. And then when he's finished, we have watch and pray prayer time. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you that your information is out there, Lord. We see it, Lord. And we need spiritual eyes to discern things, Lord. And we need spiritual ears to be able to understand the truth, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I pray that everything we see, Lord, will prompt us to not be complacent, but to realize we're surging now prophetically, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And Lord, we don't want to be complacent now. We want to be out front, Lord. We want to be able to bring glory to your name, to win souls to you. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Use us, Lord, every way available, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you in this ministry for today, Lord, when I spoke in Tanzania, Lord. Thank you for that. That was a wonderful, that opportunity just came kind of late last night, and then there I was. So thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for all the work that's being done in Kenya all East Africa, Lord, so many souls coming to you, Lord. And then, Lord, in Pakistan, great numbers of souls, and the brochures are having such an impact, Lord, and especially that Broken Heart brochure. Thank you. And in India, the great reports coming from India and Sri Lanka, Lord, with the Buddhists, incredible. And then, Lord, I've been getting very good reports from Central America in particular with the Broken Hearted brochure. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. So continue to use us as a ministry, Lord. We pray for your blessings on President Trump that he'll make right decisions. Thank you, Lord. And that, Lord, we're praying for the protection of Israel. We're praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Lord. The outpouring began in Israel, in Jerusalem. We want to see it right back there, Lord, in the last days. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Lord, and again, the fields are white unto harvest, Lord. In America, we could change the course of the nation, Lord. Hold back evil until you come for us. Great outpouring, Lord, sweeping from the Atlantic to the Pacific, swinging up to Canada, Lord. Take out the end time harvest, Lord. And down into Central America, Lord, South America. A mighty move of your spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The brochures are doing such a great work in all places like Cuba and Puerto Rico, Lord. And then in Mexico, Lord, we're hearing things. El Salvador, Honduras, Lord, Nicaragua, amazing things we're hearing, Lord, about you moving, winning all sorts of souls. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the freedom that we have, Lord. The freedom of get the truth, Lord. The freedom to proclaim the truth. And Lord, that all of us now need that, to live with that blessed hope, Lord. The two things we need right now are the blessed hope and the fields white unto harvest, Lord. To work in those fields and realize that you're coming very soon for us, Lord. So we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right. Remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I took one last look, and who snuck in but Sister Kathy?
Yes, I was listening on the other thing.
Yeah, I just happened to glance over, and there I saw your name. And all right. So you have anything to share, Sister Kathy?
Yeah, just that God is good all the time. And there is so much prayer in the background going on. And
amen. Amen.
And I did see on this computer screen that somebody that hires out, it's kind of like a business for protesters. They dispatch
yes.
protesters.
Yes.
They said this thing Saturday is no King's thing, is
yes.
a dud.
Good.
And that it is not going anywhere.
Good.
That was good news to hear, but I hope it's true. But.
Well, good. See, God, they're trying. The devil's trying, but it's not the time yet. It's not the time
right.
yet, Sister Kathy.
Uh-huh.
It's not the
Thank
time
you, Jesus.
Yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, and tomorrow it's a holiday, isn't it?
Yeah, Columbus Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll
okay.
be up and running and see you then.
All right. God bless you now.
Thanks.
Looking
Sorry.
For that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, and everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed.